We present Peter Cook as Paul Temple and Marjorie Westbury as Steve in Paul Temple and the Lawrence Affair, a serial by Francis Durbridge. Paul Temple and the Lawrence Affair, Episode 6, News from Sir Graham.
Salty, listen. What did you mean on the phone when you said you'd a present for Mrs. Temple?
On the phone?
Yes, this is Paul Temple, Salty. Remember, you telephoned me.
Yes, that's right.
What did you mean, Salty?
Temple, feel in my pocket, my coat pocket.
Which one?
The left.
In here?
Yes. Have you got them?
Yeah. But they're Steve's gold earrings. They were in her handbag.
Yes, I...
Well, how did you get them?
I got them when I was in London.
But how, Salty? How did you get them?
When are they going to take me to the hospital? Have they sent for a doctor?
Yes, here's the ambulance. You'll be all right in a minute.
Temple, help me to get up.
What?
I don't want to get on my feet so that I can...
No. Don't move, Salty. Stay where you are. They'll look after you.
Mr. Temple,
Yes?
Come round to the hospital when I'm better. I want to talk to you.
Yes, all right. What is it you want to talk to me about?
About Bob Gardner. I want to tell you what really happened that afternoon.
Excuse me, sir. Now, don't worry. You'll soon be all right. Fred, get hold of his shoulders. That's it.
How is he?
Pretty bad, I'm afraid.
The ambulance took a long time getting here, Inspector.
Yes, there isn't a hospital in Durnborough. Mr. Temple, you say you had an appointment with Salty?
Yes, he phoned me this morning and said he wanted to see me.
Have you any idea what about?
No, I haven't, Inspector. Steve, I think we ought to get back to the hotel. There's nothing we can do here.
Yes, all right, dear.
We're staying at the Crescent if you want to get in touch with us, Inspector.
Yes, all right, sir. I'll keep you posted about Salty.
Thank you. Come on, darling.
Goodbye, Mrs. Temple.
Goodbye, Inspector.
Shall I put the car away, Mr. Temple?
Oh, if you would, please.
When shall we be needing that again, sir?
We shan't want it tonight, shall we, Steve?
What time are we meeting Dexter?
5:45 at the quay.
Oh, well, we can walk.
Say 10:00 tomorrow morning, then.
Oh, very good, sir. Would you like the car washed?
Oh, if you've got time, yes.
Thanks, sir.
By the way, you're the only garage in Durnborough, aren't you?
There is another one, sir, but it's quite small, and it's on the other side of the bay.
Then I suppose you know most of the local people?
Well, most of them. I was born and bred here.
Do you know Salty West?
Yes, I know, Salty.
He's just had a very bad accident. They've taken him to hospital.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Is it serious?
I'm afraid it might be.
Oh, well. 10:00 tomorrow morning, you said, sir?
Yes, please.
Right.
One moment, George. It is George, isn't it?
Yes, George Watford.
Tell me, George, did you know Bob Gardner?
Yes, I knew him.
Was he a friend of yours?
No, I don't mix much with the locals.
But you knew Gardner?
Yes, he was a customer of mine.
A credit customer? I mean, had he an account?
Yes, he had an account.
George, have you got any chits that Bob Gardner signed?
Well, I expect there's one or two on the file.
Could I see them?
All right, you'd better come in the office.
No, thank you. I'll see you back at the hotel, Steve.
Yes, all right. I'll be in the room. Oh, have you got the key?
Yeah. Here you are.
Thank you.
I'll just put the car on the washer. The office is over on the right in the corner. I'll be with you in a minute.
Yes, all right, thanks. Steve, You remember that Salty West said he'd a present for you?
Yes.
Here it is.
My gold earrings?
Yes.
Did Salty give them to you?
He did.
But how did he get them?
I don't know, but obviously he knew about the handbag.
But I don't understand.
Look, dear, I'll see you back at the hotel. I shan't be long.
Yes, all right, dear.
Yes, sir, that's right inside here. Well, apparently I've only got two chits with Bob's signature. Now I come to think of it, it is his sister signed for most of the stuff.
Well, if you've got one, that's all I want.
Yes, here you are. I think this one was signed by Bob. Yes, that's right.
Ah, thank you. May I keep this?
Oh, I don't see why not.
Good. You say Mary Gardner signed most of the time.
Yes.
Why was that?
Well, I don't know. I imagine she kept the account.
Did you see much of her?
She popped in every now and again.
Did you like her?
Mr. Temple, why the questionnaire? I've told you the Gardners weren't friends of mine.
I'm not suggesting they were, George, but you must have seen a fair amount of them.
Now, look, I saw Mary Gardner about once a week, Bob perhaps two or three times.
What was your opinion of Mary Gardner?
Look, Mr. Temple, forgive me if I sound rude, but if you want the local gossip, you've come to the wrong department. I've already told you I don't mix with the local people.
Yes, you've told me that, George, but tell me this. Were you surprised when you heard about Mary Gardner?
Well, naturally, wouldn't you be surprised if you suddenly read in the newspapers that a customer of yours had been murdered?
Yes, but unusual things seem to happen to people in this part of the world.
They do indeed.
I suppose you're thinking of Bob Gardner.
No, I was thinking of someone else.
Oh? Who exactly?
I was thinking of a young fellow called Andy Cross. He used to work for me. First-class mechanic was Andy.
What happened to him?
Oh, it's an old story. 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, Mr. Temple, okay?
What happened to Andy Cross, George?
I've told you, it's an old story.
I haven't heard it.
He committed suicide about a year ago.
Why?
Well, they said it was over a girl he was walking out with, Mary Chepstow. One night they had a row and Andy put his head in the gas oven.
No, that's not original. It's happened before.
Yes, I know.
But you don't think he did put his head in the gas oven, is that it? You think he was murdered?
No. He committed suicide all right, but not because of Mary Chepstow.
Well, why did he do it?
Well, your guess is as good as mine, Mr. Temple. 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, sir.
All right, George. 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. And thanks.
For what?
For telling me about Andy Cross. Why'd you lock the door, Steve?
Oh, sorry, darling. Didn't realize I had. Well, did you get what you wanted?
What do you mean?
The chit you were talking about. Bob Gardner's signature.
Oh, yes. Yes, I got that all right.
But what did you want it for, anyway?
I wanted to compare the signature with the one on the letter that Mary Gardner brought me.
Have you still got that letter?
No, not here. At home. Oh, you've changed your dress.
We are supposed to be meeting Brian Dexter at 5:45.
What time is it now?
Well, it's gone 5.
Oh, we've got bags of time. It won't take us more than 5 minutes to walk down to the quay. I suppose there was no message for me when you got back to the hotel.
No, I asked at the reception desk.
I just can't understand why I haven't heard from Vosper or Sir Graham. You'd have thought that at least one of them would... Hello?
Mr. Temple?
Yes?
There's a gentleman asking for you at the reception desk, sir.
Oh, who is it?
One moment, sir.
Temple, this is Forbes. May I come up to your room?
Why, yes, of course, Sir Graham. Room 12.
Thanks, right.
Well, talk of angels.
Has he just come up from town?
Sounds like it.
Is he alone?
I imagine so.
Now, surely he wouldn't come all this
Steve,
way without...
Steve, you know just as much about this as I do.
Well, if he's motored all the way from town, I expect the poor man could do with a drink.
Well, we'll deal with that problem later, darling.
All right.
Steve, while we were staying down here before, did you ever hear anyone mention the name Andy Cross?
Andy Cross?
Yes.
Do you know, I believe I did. Mrs. Purdy mentioned him.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't he a garage mechanic who committed suicide?
Yes, that's right. Why didn't you tell me about him?
Well, I didn't think it was important. Sure, it's always over a year since it happened.
About a year.
Well, from what Mrs. Purdy said, he had a row with his fiancée and put his head in the gas oven.
Yes.
Who told you about Andy Cross?
George, the man at the garage we were talking about, Dunbar, and it suddenly came out.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty commonplace story, isn't it? You can read that sort of thing every weekend in the Sunday newspapers.
Hmm.
Oh, here's Sir Graham.
Ah, come in, Sir Graham. Come in.
Hello, Temple.
Welcome to Dunbar, Sir Graham.
Thank you, Steve. How are you?
I'm fine.
You got my telegram.
About the yacht?
Yes.
I tried to phone you, but we'd had rather a hectic day. Is that the yacht in the bay there?
Yes, that's the Isle of Skye. It belongs to a Mrs. De Silva.
De Silva? Any relation to Ernest De Silva?
Mm-hmm, his wife.
Oh, is she aboard?
Yes.
Have you met her yet?
No, not yet, but we're going to. We've been invited for drinks this evening.
But if you haven't met her, how did you manage to get an invitation?
Brian Dexter's invited us. He's a guest on board the yacht.
Is he, by Jove? That's an interesting coincidence.
And if you ask me, he's not the only guest.
What do you mean, Steve?
Steve's thinking of Sylvia Ross.
You think she's on that yacht?
Don't you, Sir Graham?
Do you, Temple?
I don't know. The conversation Burford overheard between Tico and Freeman certainly seemed to point that way. And so did the telegram I found. And yet...
You're skeptical.
Yes. Don't ask me why, Sir Graham, but I am. Oh, but look here, you didn't come all the way to Downbury just to talk about my telegram.
No, you're quite right. I didn't.
What's happened, Sir Graham?
Is there a new development?
Yes.
Well?
Sylvia Ross returned home about an hour after we received your telegram.
What?
What do you mean, returned home?
A taxi drove up to the house. Sylvia got out and rang the bell. What? It was as simple as that.
But surely somebody
just
must
a minute, Steve, just a minute. Sit down, Sir Graham. Now, take your time and let's have the whole story.
Well, the whole story boils down to the simple fact that for days we've been searching for this girl, and at 9:30 this morning, she returned home.
Well,
fortunately, her father was in the house. Naturally, Sir Carlton was delighted to see her, and pretty excited into the bargain.
I can imagine it.
He phoned us immediately, and Vosper and I went round to Berkeley Square. I suppose it was about 9:45 when we arrived. We were shown into the drawing room.
Sir Graham Forbes and Detective Inspector Vosper, sir.
Ah, come in, Sir Graham. Good morning, Inspector.
Good morning, sir.
Thank you, Davis. Well, this is excellent news, isn't it?
It certainly is, sir.
Where is Miss Ross?
She's in her room, but she knows you're here. She'll be down in a minute.
Is she all right, sir?
Yes, I think so. A little pale, perhaps, but that's to be expected.
Yes, but what's the explanation? Where has she been during the past 10 days?
I don't know.
Hasn't she told you?
Oh, yes, she's told me, but I'm afraid it's not a very convincing story.
Well, where has she been, sir?
Here is Sylvia. I think she'd better answer your questions, Inspector. Come in, my dear. This is Sir Graham Forbes and Detective Inspector Vosper.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, do sit down, gentlemen, please.
Thank you very much.
Sylvia, I think perhaps you would better sit over here, dear, facing the inspector.
I'm all right where I am. There's no need to fuss, Daddy.
All right.
I understand I've caused you a certain amount of embarrassment during the past few days, Sir Graham. I'm sorry.
It hasn't been a question of embarrassment, Miss Ross. There have been certain developments which seem to indicate that you were not entirely a free agent.
What do you mean?
From the moment you disappeared...
I'm not disappeared, Sir Graham. I merely visited friends.
All right. We'll come to that point later. Certain developments have taken place since you visited your friends. We're interested in those developments, and we need information about them. We believe that you can supply that information.
Forgive me, but I really haven't the slightest idea what you're talking about. My father told me that you wanted to see me because you were under the illusion that I disappeared.
Your father was under that illusion, Miss Ross. He got in touch with Scotland Yard. We didn't get in touch with your father.
Yes, I'm afraid poor Daddy behaved rather stupidly.
There was nothing stupid about your father's behavior. It's your behavior that seems to me to warrant investigation.
My goodness, this is quite a third degree, isn't it? I never knew Scotland Yard went in for this sort of thing.
Sir Graham's annoyed, my dear, and I must confess with justification.
I'm sorry.
Miss Ross, suppose you tell us exactly what happened that night. The night you went out with Brian Dexter.
Very well. We were going to a concert at the Festival Hall, but we changed our mind and went to a dance hall in the Strand. Brian's car had broken down, so we went back by taxi. I got home at about 11:45. Just as I let myself in, the telephone was ringing. It was a girl called Doreen North. I hadn't seen Doreen for ages, although at one time we used to be very good friends.
Go on.
Well, she said she and her husband were throwing a party, and she asked me to join them. I decided to do so.
Where was the party?
At a flat in Chelsea.
Go on.
I left the house and went to the party.
And then?
Well, it didn't finish until 4:45, and Doreen suggested I stayed the night. When I woke up next morning, I felt ill. I think it must have been something I'd had to drink at the party. Doreen insisted that I stayed in bed. Naturally, I was worried about my father, but Gerald, that's Doreen's husband, said that he'd telephone Daddy and explain the whole situation.
But as I told you, he didn't telephone me, Sylvia. I never heard a word from him.
That I simply can't understand.
That only accounts for 24 hours, Miss Ross. What happened the rest of the time?
Well, as I told you, I was ill. Very ill.
Did you see a doctor?
Yes.
What was his name?
I don't remember his name. He was Doreen's doctor.
So your story, very briefly, is that you went to a party given by a Mr. and Mrs.
North.
Mr. and Mrs. North. You were taken ill and you stayed with them until you were better.
Yes.
And during the whole of that time, it never occurred to you to either telephone or write to your father.
I told you, Gerald did phone my father. He said he'd spoken to him, that my father told him he was going abroad for 2 or 3 weeks.
But that's nonsense, my dear. It's absolute nonsense.
Well, how was I to know? You do go abroad, Daddy, quite frequently.
Miss Ross, these friends of yours, where do they live?
I've told you, in Chelsea.
The address?
There's no point in giving you their address because they're...
What is the address, Miss Ross?
21 Lansdale Mansions.
21 Lansdale Mansions.
But I'm afraid you won't be able to get in touch with them.
Why?
They left for Rome early this morning.
Rather a convenient departure. Forgive me, but I just don't believe your story.
Well, if you don't believe it, you don't believe it. I'm going to my room, Daddy.
One moment, Miss Ross, please.
Look, Sir Graham, there's no point in your asking me a lot of questions if you just don't believe what I tell you.
The night you disappeared...
You keep saying I disappeared. I tell you, I simply visited friends.
The night you visited your friends, then. You also went to a dance hall. You sent a note to a man called Johnny Tico. What was in that note?
A request for a particular dance number. Good heavens above, you're not going to make a mystery out of that, surely.
Was that the first time you'd seen Johnny Tico?
No, I'd seen him once or twice before.
Where?
Oh, I just forget where.
Miss Ross, does the name Clive Lawrence mean anything to you?
No.
You never met a Mr. Clive Lawrence when you stayed at Zermatt 12 months ago.
Zermatt? No, not that I remember. Do you remember Mr. Lawrence, Daddy?
Lawrence? No. No, I don't.
Any more questions, Sir Graham?
Yes. When did you last see Mr. De Silva?
Oh, about a... Mr. De Silva?
Yes.
You mean the eye specialist?
The eye specialist?
About a month ago.
Is De Silva a friend of yours?
No.
Then why did you see him?
Why do you usually see an eye specialist? Because I've been having trouble with my eyes.
Did you know about this, Sir Carlton?
Well, I knew that Sylvia had consulted a specialist and that he'd advised her to wear glasses. But I'm afraid I couldn't have told you his name.
Well, apparently his name was De Silva. Thank you, Miss Ross.
What? No more questions?
Not for the moment, thank you.
I'll be in my room, Daddy, if you want me.
Yes. All right, Sylvia. I know exactly what you're thinking, Sir Graham, and I agree with you.
Yes, but the point is, why is she lying?
I just don't know.
Sir Carlton, forgive me if I ask you a rather personal question, will you?
Go ahead, Sir Graham, please. Don't feel embarrassed about this. I understand your position perfectly. In a day or two, when I've got over my feeling of intense relief, I shall probably be just as annoyed with Sylvia as you are.
Sir Carlton, your daughter knows, of course, that you're the head of MI5.
Of course, but she knows nothing about my work. She's never even met anyone in my department.
Has she ever expressed any interest in what you do?
Well, naturally. I should have found it curious if she hadn't.
Have you ever heard of these people, sir, Mr. and Mrs. North?
No. No, I haven't. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they don't exist.
Oh.
I must be frank with you, Inspector. I'm devoted to Sylvia, and the past week or so hasn't exactly been easy for me. On the other hand, I don't want you to have any illusions. Sylvia and I have never been what you might call close to each other.
In other words, she's not going to confide in you, sir.
No, she's not going to confide in me, Inspector.
Well, thank you, Sir Carlton. You've been very frank with us, and we appreciate it. So we left Berkeley Square and went down to Chelsea, to Lansdale Mansions. No one had heard of a Mr. and Mrs. North. 21 was occupied by a couple called Stimson. They'd been there for 16 years.
Go on, Sir Graham.
We had another talk to Sylvia, but she stuck to her story. She was lying, of course, and she knew that we knew she was lying. But there was nothing we could do about it.
But, Sir Graham, now that you've found Sylvia Russell, at any rate, now that she's safe, surely the case is closed as far as you're concerned?
No. There are still certain things I don't understand about this business, Steve.
For instance?
Well, what did happen to Sylvia Ross?
She spent the whole time with some boyfriend or other, and she doesn't want her father to know anything about it.
I don't think the explanation is as simple as that.
Neither do I.
And what about the note she sent to Johnny Tico? Was the name Lawrence on the note? And if so, what was the point of it? And how does a man like Ernest De Silva fit into all this?
De Silva's in Darnborough, by the way. He arrived this afternoon.
Oh, have you seen him?
No, but his car's in the same garage as mine.
He's staying on the yacht?
I should imagine so.
You know, coming down here in the car, I started thinking about all the people that are concerned in this affair, Temple. Brian Dexter, that man you saw at Maidenhead, Max Burford, Johnny Tico and his wife, and this man De Silva. Then that old boy you told me about, Salty something.
Salty West?
Yeah.
Oh, incidentally, I don't suppose you've heard about West. We had an appointment to see him this afternoon, but his cottage caught fire and he was very badly burned.
Yes.
They've taken him to hospital.
Did you talk to him?
Yes, but he was very ill. It was hopeless trying...
I'll answer that. Oh, hello, Inspector.
Oh, good afternoon, Mrs. Temple.
Inspector Ivorpaugh.
Oh, come in, Inspector.
I'm sorry to disturb you, sir. I didn't realize you had a visitor.
This is Sir Graham Forbes, Detective Inspector Ivor.
Good afternoon, Inspector.
Good afternoon, sir. Mr. Temple, I thought you ought to know about Salty West.
What's happened?
He's dead, sir.
Oh, dear.
He died before we reached the hospital.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Were you with him?
Yes, sir. Yes, I was in the ambulance.
Was he conscious at all?
For part of the time, sir.
Did he know that he was going to die, Inspector?
Yes. Yes, towards the end, I think he did. He asked me to deliver a message to you, Mr. Temple.
What was the message?
He said, tell Paul Temple there isn't a Mr. Lawrence. He was a decoy.
There isn't a Mr. Lawrence? He was a decoy?
Yes, sir.
You sure that's what he said?
Yes, sir. I'm quite sure.
Oh. Well, thank you, Inspector.
It's going to be foggy, do you think?
Oh, I don't think so. It's just the sea mist.
You can hardly see the yacht.
That's it, over there.
Yes, I know, but you can barely see it. Dexter's late.
Yes, it's nearly six.
There's a boat coming now, Paul. I can hear it.
Yes. Yes, there it is. It's a small dinghy by the look of things. Can't be Dexter, surely.
It is.
Hello there.
Oh, here we are, Dexter. Over here.
I'm a bit late, I'm afraid. It's pretty misty out on the bay.
Yes, it looks it.
I'm sorry I had to bring this wretched little thing, but we've been having a spot of bother with the launch.
Do you think the three of us can get into that?
Oh, yes, we'll be all right. You can swim, Mrs. Temple.
Well...
He's only joking, Steve.
Oh.
Give me your hand, Mrs. Temple.
Careful, Steve.
Keep hold of my hand.
I've got you, Mrs. Temple, don't worry. Steady. That's fine. Can you manage, Temple?
Yes, I'm used to this sort of... Whoop, oh.
You'd better sit down here, Paul.
Well, I very nearly did.
You're sure Mrs. De Silva is expecting us? Not, I'd rather go home.
Oh, yes, she's expecting you. She's looking forward to meeting you both. Oh, by the way, Temple, I believe you've met Ernest, her husband.
Yes. Is he on board?
Yes, he arrived this afternoon. Well, curiously enough, I'd never met him before.
Oh.
Well, I better get this thing started up. Now, what's the matter with the wretched thing? Oh, I'm sorry about the delay. It should be all right in a moment.
Can I give you a hand?
No, no, I think I can manage. Ah, that's it. All set?
Yes.
Mrs. Temple?
Yes.
Hold tight. Here we go. Oh, good. Because I'm afraid there's nothing I can do about it.
How long are you staying down here, Dexter?
Oh, probably 3 or 4 days. I don't see any sense in rushing back to town just to be buttonholed by Scotland Yard. And that's probably what would happen.
I doubt whether Vosper will bother you again.
I wish I could think so. Still, I'm grateful to you for having had a word with you.
Oh, I wasn't referring to that. You see, since we saw you last, there's been a new development.
Really? Oh, what kind of development?
Sylvia Ross has returned home.
Sylvia? Temple, are you joking?
No, I'm quite serious.
But how do you know? Who told you this?
Sir Graham Forbes.
But this is wonderful news. Absolutely wonderful. Is she all right? I mean, she's not ill or anything.
No, she's perfectly all right.
But what on earth did she say? Where has she been?
Well, apparently after you dropped her at the house, she received an invitation from some people called North. That speedboat will ram us if he's not careful.
Trying to do.
Why, Timothy, we were nearly over.
Are you all right, Mrs. Temple?
Yes, I'm sorry, I screamed.
No, I don't blame you.
Well, who was in the speedboat? Have you any idea?
I couldn't see.
The man was wearing goggles. I wouldn't recognize him again.
He's coming back.
He's going to do it again. He's coming at us.
Keep straight ahead, Dexter.
But if I don't swerve, he'll run us down.
If you do, you'll turn us over.
But there's no...
Look out!
Coming from side!
Steve, where are you? Steve! Steve! Can you hear me? Steve!
That was episode 6 of the Francis Durbridge serial, Paul Temple and the Lawrence Affair, with Peter Cook as Paul Temple and Marjorie Westbury as Steve. Listen to the next episode of Martin C. Webster's production of Paul Temple and the Lawrence Affair. Another suspect.